Lord, you're a great God. You're a great God, far greater than we can imagine. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father, that you are a great God, far surpassing every thought that we have. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Greater than even the best of our expectation. Hallelujah. You're far greater. Hallelujah. Far greater than what our faith could take hold of. Far greater than anything. Far greater than anyone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Far greater. Hallelujah. Much greater. Tonight we stretch our mind and think our biggest thoughts and raise our expectation as high as we can. And we know that you're far greater than that. But we thank you that you take notice of the thoughts that we think, of the faith that we express, the expectations that we have of you, Lord. We thank you that tonight you are doing exactly what you said you would do. You would perform your word in our lives, in the lives of those who believe. And we thank you for it tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Tell somebody he's far greater and you can be seated. Praise God. Amen. I am glad to see all of you here tonight, and it's great to be in the house of God with people of like faith. Glory to God. And count it an honor and a privilege to be here to bring the Word of God to you tonight, and trust that what we will be able to share will come out in such a way that it will be a blessing to you, strengthen you in your faith, and help you as you walk with God yourself. Amen. I'm going to speak to you tonight on this subject of don't settle for less than what God says. Don't settle for less than what God says. Abraham is the person that we're going to be looking at tonight. Abraham is the father of all who believe. In Romans 4:16, it tells us that. And he is our example in the faith. In other words, if you want to find a person that's walking by faith, and say, well, I'd like to see somebody walk by faith because I want to do it too. I want to learn how to walk by faith. Abraham's a good person to look at. He was not a perfect person, but let me just tell you this. He is a person that was human. He didn't get everything right, but there was a faith that he kept expressing toward God in the midst of the mistakes that he made. He did not give up, but he persevered until he received the promises of God. And so Abraham is our example in walking by faith. And I believe firmly that there is much that we can learn from him. And so you can turn your Bibles to a rather unique scripture, Acts chapter 7. I know you thought I was going to Genesis, and we will. But Acts chapter 7 and verse 2, I want us to begin there tonight and just see what Stephen said that was so clear in regard to Abraham and some of the details. Abraham, as you know, as we get ready to read this, grew up in Ur of Chaldee, which in Mesopotamia, which is in southern Iraq, and today would be found there today. And it was there that God spoke to him uh, to, to leave there and go to a land that he would show him, to a land of Canaan. Acts chapter 7, verse 2, this is what Stephen said. Brethren and fathers, listen, the God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran, and said to him, excuse me, get out of your country and from your relatives and come to a land that I will show you. And then he came out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran. And from there, when his father was dead, he moved him to this land in which you now dwell. And so we see Stephen giving a very clear account of Abram, as he was known in those days, not Abraham. Later, his name was changed to Abraham. And so Abram was in Ur of Chaldee when God spoke to him and gave him the call to move out. And you need to realize that the people there were idol worshipers. They worshiped the moon god and his own dad, father, it was said, and his household were idol worshipers. You can read that elsewhere in the Bible, that they were idol worshipers. But God reached out, saw something in Abraham that caused him to reach out and place a call upon Abraham. And Abraham, or Abram as at that time, endeavored to obey God. And so my first thing that I want you to realize tonight, and that is this: Abraham obeyed God to leave Ur of Chaldee to go to the promised land. If he would have never done that, the rest of it wouldn't have happened. But he obeyed. Now, if you look over in Genesis chapter 12 and you see verses 1 through 3, you'll also read how after they were in Haran, that God's, it says, and Terah had passed away, his father had passed away. We see there in verse 1, we read what some would consider a second call, but others would say it is simply referring back to what he heard in Ur of Chaldee. And so in Genesis 12, 1 through 3, we read this. Now the Lord, and I believe it was referring back to, this is referring back to Ur of Chaldee, because look what it says, it's in past tense. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And so we see that Abram received that call, and he must have talked to his family about it. Because if you go back up into chapter 11 just a little bit there, in verse 31, you can start reading about how, about Terah, his father. It says there, and Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, and his son Abram's wife, and they went out with them from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. And it says they came to Haran and dwelt there. And so the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. And so there's a couple of things that I want to point out to you in regard to this, because we read over it. First of all, we see that evidently Abram talked to his family about it, because there were quite a few people that left Ur of Chaldee, of his family that left Ur of Chaldee and went to Haran. Terah was his dad, was one of them. Now, we also, if you read, you'll find out that Terah's oldest son, Haran, had already died and passed away. And so that may have been a cause for him to want to not stay there. That could have been a reason for it. But a lot of people think that perhaps Terah was also a convert into to the God of Abram, who called him to leave Ur of Chaldea and go to a land that he would show him. We know that's Canaan. And it's interesting that it says here in verse Genesis 11, 31, it says, "And they went out with them from Ur the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan." Now it's interesting that they said that's where they were decided to go. That's where they were determined to go. They were, why did they leave? To go to Ur of Chaldea. Now, to Canaan from Ur of Chaldea. And so if you look at a map, you'll find that Ur of Chaldeas in southern Iraq, and Canaan is now what's Israel. And so to take a straight shot across there would mean that they'd have to cross a lot of desert land. And so they followed what is referred to now is called the Fertile Crescent, which means they journeyed northwest out of Ur of Chaldea, followed the Euphrates River, and went up northwest until they came to Haran, which is actually... the ruins of that city are in the present day place that's known as Haran in southern Turkey. And so you have that. And then you, from there, when they eventually, Abraham went and he journeyed southwest then into Canaan. And some estimates are that this is a journey of about 1,000 miles. And so, but you know, they took their livestock with them, and they took, you know, the livestock was part of their livelihood, and so they took that with them, and they followed the river because they needed something for their livestock. And so you had all of that going on. So they took off from Ur of Chaldea. Aren't you glad that Abram obeyed? And I'm so glad that Abram didn't sit there and think about just himself. But see, we're still reaping the benefits of his obedience today. Isn't that something? And I want you to realize that a lot of times when God asks you to do something, it's not just about you. It's about people after you and people around you and people that you're going to come in contact with because... And you know, wouldn't it be good if they came to heaven and said, "Thank God for your obedience," because that helped them get into position and to the blessings that God had for them. And so we understand that what Abram did right here is of extreme importance. He obeyed God. Now, so there were a lot of there were a number of family that went with him, and they came. It says here in verse 31. Or in verse 31, it says they came to Haran and dwelt there. New King James says that. It says they came to Haran and dwelt there. The word dwelt means to sit down. It also means, by implication, to remain, to settle. And interestingly enough, it also means to marry. Can you imagine now, how many of you, when you got married, you chose a place and you determined, I mean, how many of you promised when you got married that it was for better or worse, it was for richer or poorer, it was for, and essentially it was a commitment in good times and bad times. Isn't that right? No matter what, this is where we are. This is who we are. We're together now. And it's almost that kind of attitude is portrayed in this word. And when he said that they dwelt there, it's indicating there that they focused right there. And a matter of fact, stayed there till Terah passed away. And so we see that happening. The New Living Translation says they stopped at Haran and settled there. The good God's Word translation says, when they came as far as Haran, they stayed there. The World English Bible says they came to Haran and lived there. Now, just so you know, Haran is about 400 miles from Canaan. So here's the picture. Terah and Abram took off from Ur of Chaldee to go to Canaan. Their intention is to go to Canaan, and they come to Haran, which is 400 miles less than what they had intended to do, and where they felt like that they were supposed to go, and they settled there. They dwelt there. They lived there. They stayed there. And so, I don't know. The question is asked sometimes, why did Terah stay in Haran when he intended to go to Canaan? Why did they stop 400 miles short of the goal? Interesting, isn't it? You know, the Bible doesn't really tell us, but we could ask some questions, couldn't we? Were they too tired of traveling? You know, you get too tired of some people quit. Some people quit when they just get too tired of something. Maybe Terah thought he was too old. You know, after all, he's getting up there. Died when he's 205. That's pretty, you know, you don't see too many 200-year-old men nowadays traveling around. Especially not walking with their flocks. You know what I'm saying? Is it because they got too busy there? Maybe they got too busy there. Haran actually was a caravan road connecting Nineveh, Asher, and Babylon, and Damascus, and Tyre, and some Egyptian cities to the southwest. It was a really busy trading center. A traveling intersection where a lot of travel came through, and probably good for business and prosperous place because it's right there along the Euphrates River. And so maybe they got too busy making their living or doing their business or whatever it was. Could be some other things. Maybe Terah got too sick to go on. Or here's something. Maybe he got too contented. You know, you in this room, we can come up with a lot more thoughts. Why did they stop there? We don't know. In other words, here's the deal. I can't judge Terah, but I can deal with myself. Because you see, the challenge is for you and I to not settle for less than what God said. Terah died having not ever gotten to Canaan. He intended to. And the indication from the studies of history shows that they were there a number of years. And so they intended to, you know, they had good intentions. How many of you met people with good intentions? I know, you just look in the mirror, and we all have good intentions, don't we? And the truth of the matter is then, the difficult part is to not settle for less than the intentions that we have. To follow God, what God had said. And so, the challenge is there for us to not settle for less than what God told us to do. The truth is, Abraham, if he would have just stayed there, or Abram would have just stayed there, he would have had it made. Do you know that? Just think about it. There's a place where lots of people are coming. Business is good. They're right beside the river. I mean, hey, let's just settle here. Let's just dwell here. Let's just make this our permanent abode, and life will be good. So you could say it this way. I know we're an American. We talk about the American dream, but we could say this about Abram. He said it was the Middle Eastern dream. You know what I'm saying? So we need to realize we don't know. But the challenge, I just get this little word in my heart tonight, the word settle. And I think it's a word that should challenge us, that we should not settle for less than what God has spoken to our hearts. That we should endeavor to obey. And so after Terah passed away, the challenge came to Abram at that time, do I stay here where life is good? Or do I move on? I mean, you know, time had passed. How many of you have ever had God speak to you and time has passed, and after a long time has passed, you wonder, does God really still intend for me to do that? So that question comes in your mind. I wonder if God still thinks I ought to do that. I wonder, you know. And the truth is that evidently here God had not changed his mind at all. Abraham, if you look in Genesis chapter 12 and verses 4 and 5, we see that Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. In other words, he did not forget what God had said. I've met people that have put what God said on the back burner. Or because it looks impossible, they just say, well, I don't know, it's on the shelf, you know. I don't know what to do with it. And so, you know, I've met people that feel like they're called of God to be in the ministry or to be in some sort of business, to do something philanthropic for mankind or something of that nature, and they never get to it. You know what I'm saying? And it's just on the back burner. They're just paying bills or, you know, doing something else. And so, Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. And he says, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. I don't know, but when I saw that 75, I thought to myself, you know, we buy into slowing down perhaps a little early.
That's right.
Maybe we should just shift gears. Isn't that right? And so, maybe we should just shift gears. And in verse 5 it says, Abram took Sarai his wife, Lot his brother's son. Lot was actually his brother Haran's son, who had already passed away, his son, and all their possessions. He took all their possessions that they had gathered. Abram's 75 years old. Now, most of us in this room aren't 75 years old, but let me tell you something, that if you have lived for a while, you can gather some things. Isn't that right? And if you're well off, you can gather a lot of things. But he took it all. He says they gathered all their belongings, their possessions, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran. In other words, they had a lot of servants that they took along that helped, people that worked for them. And it says they departed to go to the land of Canaan, and they came to the land of Canaan. And so here's a key. You know how come Abram got to Canaan? It's because he left and he kept going until he got there. I know that's deep, so we probably ought to write that down. But, you know, I found, how many of you have ever taken a trip and in the middle of the trip, you felt like you got tired, you felt like quitting, but you just kept on driving? And you got there because you just never quit driving. Isn't that right? Yeah. I'm sure it wasn't any easier for Abram. And so we see then that they came to the land of Canaan. Abram had to pick up and go on without his father. And let me just make an observation here for all of us and whatever generation we're in. It's important that we fight the battles that we face in our generations, you know, because if we don't, the next generation has to fight those battles. The next generation, if we leave it undone, the next generation has to do it. And so what happens is that Abram picked up and went on, and Terah never got there. So Abram had to pursue and keep going. Now, I know that he had the original call, but the truth is that Terah had evidently bought into this and converted over to serving the true God. Nevertheless, let me tell you this. This journey that we just looked at represents the passing of time. Quite a few years. Okay? Perhaps it seemed to Abram that it would never happen. Would he ever see Canaan? Have you ever thought about what God has spoken to you? And as time has passed, have you ever thought, will I ever see it? Have you wondered, am I ever going to see the words come to pass that I heard in my spirit? And then, let me just tell you this. I'm sure as they took off from Ur of Chaldee, the idea of going 1,000 miles, that seemed almost impossible. Didn't have air conditioning, didn't have car, didn't have truck, didn't have anything like that. A lot of it meant slow traveling. Perhaps they had camels, perhaps they had, you know, some means of transportation like that. But it's not like they would travel hundreds of miles a day. They had to travel slowly so that the livestock would not be hurt, or, you know, so that the livestock could thrive, you know. And so it seemed, I'm sure, impossible to Abram to go where God told him, yet he endeavored to do that. And he kept at it until he got there. In other words, you could say this, that he persevered until he entered into the promised land. So we see that Abraham obeyed God to go to the promised land. He also did not settle for less than the promised land. And finally, he persevered to go until he entered into the promised land. And that's a pattern of faith for us. We may be in a point where we need to make a step of obedience. It also may be that we're at a point where we make a decision not to settle for less than what God said, in spite of the way things look or the situations we are now currently in. Doesn't matter how bad or how good they are. Just because you're in a good situation, don't judge that to be the will of God just because it's good. Because you see, God is always good. But good does not always God. You see what I'm saying? And so we make sure we don't confuse that and get that. And so Abraham obeyed God, refused to settle for less than the promised land, and he persevered until he entered into it. He became fully convinced that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Are you there? Are you? You know, it's one thing to acknowledge the Bible is true, a verse is true. It's another thing to be convinced this is the way it is, this is what's going to happen, and there isn't any, it's not any other way. This is the way it's going to happen. This is going to happen. You understand what I'm? You see what I'm saying? When you get utterly convinced, you can really tell whether you're really fully convinced or not, because you stop looking for alternatives. You stop looking for alternatives. You're just going with what God had said. Abram had no reason to go there other than God said. I don't know if God explained to him, hey, look, there's a lot of people depending on you. Future generations are resting on your decision. I don't know if God explained that to him. But the Bible says he went to a land that he knew not of. In other words, I'm not so sure that he didn't know where he was going, but I am convinced he didn't know what it was like. I'm not sure that he did not know what the culture was. He didn't know what the geography was. He didn't know the climate. He didn't know how it was there. He went to a land that he knew not of. When some of you moved to Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, you came to a land that you knew not of because you did not know what climate it was. Brother Bill came from New Jersey, and I can tell you that when he came here, I'm sure he discovered it was not like New Jersey. Not at all. The climate's not that way. Culture's not that way. The weather's not, nothing. Have you found anything that's like New Jersey? Pardon?
No pizza. The pizza was not like New Jersey.
Pizza was not like New Jersey. He's focused on the important stuff there. I agree with him. Amen. You see what I'm saying? Some good stuff, man. I'm telling you. Hurry up and end this thing so we can go home. Uh-oh. Now listen to me. Listen to me. Stand to your feet, if you would, please. I just want to focus back on the word settle. People in this room, I'm really convinced that there are people in this room, you need to decide not to settle for less than what God said. There's people in this room that you have become settled where you are because it seems impossible to go where God said. There are also people in this room who the passing of time has caused you to think otherwise from what God has said. And as we bow our heads, I'd like for heads to be, if you'd bow your heads and close your eyes and let this be a moment between you and God. Those of you that are watching online, let this be a moment with you and God. I'm going to ask this question. Are you where God has spoken to you to be? Or are you in the process of getting there? If you are, great. But if you find yourself tonight settled for less than what God has said, then I want to pray for you. Settled. Somehow things have looked impossible. Now, this is not a condemnation or a bad place to be. It just simply means that you have to do like Abram did. You have to decide to get up and go. Tonight you may be here. It may seem impossible to get there from where you are. Maybe the passing of time has caused you to think other thoughts. Maybe put what God has said on the back burner. Maybe come to believe that it probably can't happen. If you're here tonight, I want to pray for you. If you'll simply slip your hand up, acknowledge. I see hands all over the room and around the room here. I'm going to do exactly what I said I would do. I'm going to pray for you, but I'm going to ask you to take a step. In essence, I'm going to ask you to take a step just like Abram did. I'm going to ask you to take a step of obedience and come to the front where we can pray for you, and just get out of your seat and come. We want to pray for you just like we said we would. We believe that God has good things for you. The good news is that God has not given up on you. Amen. God has not given up on anybody. But sometimes we need to stir ourselves up. And I want to tell you this. There's a group of people here tonight also that you're settled where you are. You're in where you are because you don't know how else. You don't know what else to do. You're settled there. You don't know how to get where God's told you. And this place is open for all of you. And so the front here, the altar is open for all of you along those lines. We're going to pray for you. We're going to believe God for you tonight. And I want people that are still in your pews, I want you to support these people. How many of you that are not up here, how many of you'd raise your hand and say, I've been there. I know what it is, and I moved out by faith. How many of you that have been in that place, how many of you would also acknowledge that somebody helped me? Somebody helped me. Isn't that right? And that's what the church is for, is to help one another in their walk of faith. And I want to pray for you tonight. And so I'm going to give instructions for those of you that are up here on the line tonight. I'm going to lay my hands on you. There's nothing magic in my hands. It is simply the anointing of God. And we're going to believe with you for you to take that step to God to show you something. Maybe some of you need to know something. Some of you need to, you know the step you need to take, but it just seems so hard or almost impossible. And we're going to ask, believe that God would give you the strength and the ability to take that step. And just rise up to the things that God has spoken to you in your heart. And so we're believing God with you tonight. It may be in the area of your physical body. It may be in the area of your job. It may be in the area of life in general. But it may be in ministry. I don't know what it is. Could be anything. But I want to tell you tonight, let's not settle for less than what God has said. Amen. Let's lift our hands up. Those of you in the line, let's lift our hands up at this moment. Others of you in the audience, stretch your hands out to these people as we get ready to pray. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus that you are moving mightily. Bless these people tonight. Lord God, with your power and your ability, bless them with words from heaven. In the name of Jesus, that they may be able to receive what you have for them. And that, Father God, that you, as we lay hands upon them, that they will receive from you and strengthen them, motivate them, help them to see beyond the current situations in the name of Jesus. We thank you for that now. In the mighty name of Jesus, thank you for it, Father. We give you praise so softly. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we lay hands on you. In the name of Jesus, we thank you now. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, be loosed in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. 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 Yep, yep. Just let the Holy Spirit minister to me. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name. Yep. In the name of Jesus. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Yep, yep, yep. In the name of Jesus. Yep, receive it. Now lift the other hand up and tell God, I want it with all my heart. All my heart. In the name of Jesus. There it is. Yep, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Make a way, Lord. Make a way, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I want more of you, God. In the name of Jesus. Set a fire down in my soul. In the name. in the name of Jesus.
I want more of you, God.
Yep, in the name of Jesus. Yep.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain. I can't control.
Hallelujah. In the name
of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Set a fire
down in
my soul that I can't contain. I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain.
In the name of Jesus.
I want
in the name of Jesus,
God.
We pray for you.
Set
right
a
now,
fire
whatever
down
it is you need.
My soul
in the name of Jesus. In the name. Yes. In the name. In the name. In the name of Jesus. Everything. Worship Him. In the name of Jesus, we pray for these people. In the name of Jesus, lift your hands up to the
Lord.
In the name of Jesus, we pray for you. In the name of Jesus, we move forward. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
I want more of you, God.
In the name
of Jesus. God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain.
In the name. In the name
set
of Jesus.
Fire down my
he loves
soul
you.
That
loves
I can't
you.
Contain.
In the name
I can't control.
Of Jesus.
In
the name
more of you,
Jesus.
God. Yep. I want more of you, God.
It's not too late.
Set a fire down
in the name.
My soul that I can't contain. I can't control.
In the name.
I want more
yep.
of you,
in the name.
God. I want more
yep,
of you,
in the name.
God. Set a
thank
fire down in my soul
thank
that
you, Jesus.
I can't contain.
Stretch
I
your hands out towards
control.
These people. Leave God with us. In the name.
You,
in the name.
in the name. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain. I can't control.
In the name of Jesus, anoint us upon
you
now. Don't get out from under. Just let it minister to you. In the name.
That I can't contain. I can't control.
In the name.
I want more of you, God.
In the name.
I want more of you, God.
Take it. In the name. Yep, there. Just let it flow. In the name.
I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain. I can't control.
In the name.
I want more
in the
of
name
you, God.
Of Jesus.
I want more
in the name
of you, God.
Ha.
Set
ha.
A fire
in the name
down
of Jesus.
In my soul.
Control.
I want more of you, God. I
there it
want
is. follow God. God, guide your steps. Follow God. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you. In the name.
Yep.
Oh, thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Father. Now, in the name of Jesus, receive it. Receive it. Receive it.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain. I can't control.
Here it is.
I want
the name
more
of
you, God. I want
the name
more of you,
in the name of Jesus.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain.
In the name.
I want more.
In the name.
You,
Jesus, let the anointing.
I
there.
Want more.
Just receive it.
You,
there it comes again.
God.
In the name.
Set
of Jesus.
A fire down in my soul.
In the name.
That I can't contain.
Jesus.
Can't control. I want more of you.
In the name.
God.
Jesus.
I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
I want more of you, God.
In the name of Jesus.
I want more of you.
In the name of Jesus.
Set a fire down my soul that I can't contain. I can't control.
In the name of Jesus.
I want more of you, God.
In the name.
I want more
in the name
of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't
in
contain.
The name
I can't
Jesus.
Control I
yes.
want more
in the name
of you, God.
In the name of
I
Jesus
want more
in
of you,
the name
God.
Of Jesus
set a
in
fire down in
the
my
name
soul
that of Jesus
contain.
That's how you're going to get there in the name
I want more of you, God.
In Jesus' name
I want
keep saying
more
in the name.
In the name.
In the name of Jesus. In the name. Let's lift our hands and worship the Lord. Worship Him. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. We worship you, Lord. We thank you that you're doing a mighty work. Mighty work in these people. Bless these people. Strengthen these people. Sustain these people until they are able to enter into the promise that you have for them. The call that you've put upon them. That which you have shown them. Whatever it is. It might be healing. Whatever it might be. Whatever it is, I thank you that you're blessing, helping. You're walking with them every step of the way. I thank you for it, Father. I thank you, Father, that you are faithful to your people. That as these people take a step, they'll find out they don't have to do it alone. But when they take the step, you also move into action. And so we thank you now, Father. We bless you and give you praise. In Jesus' name, I pray for these people in this congregation that, Father God, as they go through this holiday season, that, Father God, that they find the joy of this season. That, Father God, that even if their circumstances don't warrant it yet because of Jesus in their heart, Father, they find joy in their heart, that in spite of their circumstances, they would be able to praise you and magnify your name. I thank you, Father, that every need of every person is met in this holiday season, that they may be able to have a good Christmas celebration in honor of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we thank you for that now. Give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 If you need prayer for anything else, there'll be some prayer workers down here, ladies over here, and men over here. And so also those of you that are here for the very first time at Rainbow Bible Church, the connection team members are getting with you right now to take you to the West Lobby to receive a gift that's been especially prepared for you that you be able to enjoy. And that's our way of saying thank you for being here tonight. We look forward to seeing you again. We've got Our Power coming up this Wednesday night. Pastor Hagen will be here, plans to be here, and so we look forward to a good word from him. And just have a blessed week moving with God. Amen. God bless you. I'll see you later.